You're listening to the Pinto and White Shadow Show on KFGO.com and 740thefan.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Pinto and White Shadow Show 035 podcast, I believe. I haven't even checked. I'm so excited for this podcast, Brad Jones.
Yes.
It is the Bracketology Tournament Edition of the podcast. Brad Jones and I, for the next hour or so, will be discussing all the regions, all the games, breaking them down. Of course, we'll get the Oklahoma-North Dakota State game out of the way as well. But that's what we're going to be doing for the next hour.
That's right. You want to talk some Minnesota Vikings free agency? Tough. You want to talk Twins spring training? Tough. This is basketball, baby. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I take these two. I take Thursday, Friday off every year. I've had them off for 6 months now. And it's going to be nothing but food and beverages and two TVs, 90 inches of flat screen goodness in my apartment. And it's going to be a revolving door of characters coming over, watching basketball. It's going to be great. Great.
I'll make sure to make an appearance at some point throughout
make
the week.
Make a couple of appearances.
I'll have to. It's going to be fun. The Selection Sunday show announcing the brackets, the regions, the teams. And we'll get to all of those, the South, the West, the East, the Midwest. Brad and I will make our picks for the Pinto and White Shadow Show bracket. I even wrote it right here on the top of my piece of paper, the official piece of paper. I figured I'd let you do your thing, and I do mine.
Right.
Again, if you want to follow us on Twitter, I'm at PintoKFGO. Brad Jones is?
I am at The Bison Guy.
You can find this podcast at KFGO.com or on iTunes. Just look for the Pinto and White Shadow Show podcast. In fact, if you Google this, this is the only thing that's going to appear, the Pinto and White Shadow Show. Right. I've Googled it several times.
You have.
It keeps coming up, roses.
Okay.
If you want to email us, pinto.whiteshadow@gmail.com. You can get to us there. And that's the best way to reach us.
We're fired up today.
Yeah.
We're excited.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think what we're going to do, just for the sake of it's a local, we'll start local. We're gonna instead of going southeast, west, midwest, we're going to start Oklahoma, North Dakota State.
Yeah.
I think we have to.
We have to, yeah. And I think and this is our first podcast since it's obviously a little bit old news now as far as NDSU making the tournament.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's our first podcast since then.
Yes.
And we were both mostly right.
Yeah.
As far as the Bison winning.
Yeah, the Bison winning part of it wasn't, I think, something. It was a good game. And what you saw in that game, Taylor Braun and his ability to
close.
Yeah.
And that was the big question about Taylor Braun 2 years ago. He answered some of that last year, and now he's going down, and we'll have probably next week, I think we have the discussion of where he fits in, just like we did with Brock Jensen, where he fits in with NDSU football. I think we have the discussion of where Taylor Braun fits in NDSU basketball.
It's a good discussion to have because he's the only player to fill it of be in the top 15 all-time in NDSU history for points, rebounds, and assists, top 15 in all those categories. Just an all-around great player, and he finished the Summit League Tournament title game 10 of the team's last 11 points. I went back and counted, and they needed Trayvon Wright essentially for the first 35 minutes to carry him through offensively, and then it was the Taylor Braun show after that. Hit a couple free throws, and then he hit a step-back three, and then the play that will, I think, get replayed in a lot of people's minds if NDSU ever gets back to this point with this team is that getting through the lane, head faking, getting Steve Forbes up in the air.
Which is a task in and of itself.
Yes, it is. Absorbing the contact, throwing up a miraculous shot and having it go in.
Can I get a rim shot? I should get a rim shot for that.
I don't have a rim shot right now.
Something.
I have one of these because it was kind of a it was a razzle dazzle type of shot.
That's true.
You know, the one thing that people are going to say about this team that I'm already getting detractors as well, they're not getting the kind of national attention they did in 09. You know what? There was different national attention, you know, on ESPN right away. It was, oh my goodness, North Dakota State this and NDSU that. And they were the fun story, the lighthearted story. This year it's different as we kind of transfer into what the NCAA tournament with the brackets coming out. You and I are big followers of national pundits when it comes to these things. Joe Lunardi, Jay Billis, you name your guy. A lot of them like NDSU against the University of Oklahoma, and that's where the attention is coming from nationally, is that people are going, you want a 12-5 upset special?
There's two of them.
Yeah, and look at NDSU Oklahoma, and that seems to be one of the favorites. Another one I see is, I don't know, maybe the St. Louis game, depending on who they get. I'm not seeing that a lot because they'll face either NC State or Xavier. I think the other one is Stephen F. Austin versus VCU.
Stephen F. Austin hasn't lost since before Thanksgiving.
Right. They're 30-2 this season.
31-2.
31-2, correct. And so a lot of people picking that, but we'll start with the local 5 versus 12, NDSU, Oklahoma. Brad, you know, I know who I'm going to go with in this game.
Yeah, we all know who you're going to go with because you're as much grief as you get, you are an unabashed homer, and you pick with your heart way more often than you pick with your head.
Yes. I cannot dispute that fact.
As much grief as you get from other people who I believe there was one time on Facebook where somebody claimed or said that you were a UND fan because of something that you wrote.
Right.
Which just made me laugh so much.
Oh, yeah. Love me some UND around here.
Yeah. We know where you're going. Give me the reasons. Tell me, we know why your heart says it. Tell me why you're doing it other than your heart.
Well, first off, I'm picking NDSU, so yes. We can get to that. We kept alluding to it, and for real, I am picking North Dakota State to win this game. The reason being, a couple reasons. One, NDSU has a lot of confidence as a team with the opponent. I talked to one of the assistant coaches, one of the people that are with the team, and they said, you know, we looked at the matchups we could have had, and there were three teams out there that we looked and went, yeah, we would really like them as a five. North Carolina was one, which surprised me a little bit.
Yep.
University of Connecticut, which I saw early on and said, yeah, that's a good matchup for NDSU, and the University of Oklahoma. So already there's this kind of built-in confidence. We got the team that we wanted for NDSU. That's one. The second reason has to do more with on the court. Oklahoma and NDSU match up really well. They're very similar to each other in the fact that across the board, NDSU size-wise is about the same size. Looking at a couple of their best players – Heidel, I believe is how you pronounce his last name for Oklahoma. He's their top scorer, but he's 6'4". Corey Brown matches up well with him. Clark Cameron, a 6'7 guard for this Oklahoma team, plays guard forward. He's more of a guy who drives to the basket. Second leading scorer of the team. Sounds a lot like Taylor Braun. NDSU looks at this team and goes, they're us, but younger and not as good defensively as we are. NDSU's not afraid. They match up well with Oklahoma. Offensively, NDSU, one of the best teams efficient-wise when it comes to field goal percentage, the best, in fact, in the NCAA. I like NDSU for that fact. The veteran, they match up well, and they're not going to be afraid playing Oklahoma on a neutral court, by the way, not in Norman, Oklahoma. I got NDSU in this one.
And here's the thing. Usually I would say you're the heart. I think more with the head as far as my picks go. I've got NDSU as well, and that I probably should pick against NDSU because in most big games in the past, it seems like that's the direction I've gone is against NDSU, and they've won a lot of those games. But I like the matchup as well. I like the way that NDSU has played. They're due for a good shooting game.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know, maybe that's a little bit of a misstatement, I guess. They did not shoot up to their potential against
Fort Wayne.
They certainly did against Denver.
Right.
But I just get the feeling that they're ready for this. It's an interesting thing, too, because we talked about NDSU being a trendy sleeper or a trendy upset pick. I wonder what that does as far as because Saul has been selling the pressure's off. Pressure's not on us anymore. We won the tournament. Anything on top of here is gravy. We're massive underdogs. Can you still be an underdog when everybody is picking you?
I think you can because national pundits are what they are and what they look for. And we had Saul on the Mike McFeely show, and he said they're picking that, and part of it is because it starts to become a trendy pick.
Yeah.
And it's no longer we like them because they so-and-so, and they'll throw out reasons.
Sure.
But they like them because it's NDSU, and that's a trendy 12-5 pick, and that's the team that people have gone with. Well, you look at what fans are picking, and sometimes fans, especially when it comes to these bracket things, they don't do research. they more or less go off a name recognition and go, sure. Oklahoma, sure, why not? I looked at Yahoo, who has a lot of people participate in brackets, like 82% favor Oklahoma in that.
Yep, saw that today.
So, again, the pundits are going to say what they say. Oklahoma can kind of shrug it off as, all right, well, so be it, or they can use it to fuel the fire, and NDSU can do a little bit of the same. I think the pressure is off for NDSU to answer that question. I don't think they have much pressure on them being a 12.
Okay, and I agree with all of the fact that anything on top of this is gravy. They've accomplished what they want to, what they need to. Now, the question is, do you have NDSU making a Sweet 16 run?
Are we going there already, or do you want to go around?
We're staying local. Let's stay local. Let's finish the NDSU
on. Let's go with the bracket or the game below it.
San Diego State.
Great defensively. I think that they win easily. So I've got SDSU in that. And North Dakota State, San Diego State, I haven't looked into it much. I tend not to look ahead when it comes to research with this NDSU team. I just look at what they have coming up. I really don't know a lot about San Diego State. I really don't.
I mean, they've got Steve Fisher as their coach.
Yes.
It's not exactly a team that... It's not exactly a team that would have, because there was some, they're in that range that a team that NDSU could have played, wasn't really afraid of them. I mean, Steve Fisher always has some athletes, always has some very good players, but like you said, NDSU was going to play a different style of them, but play, I think, better defense than what San Diego State's used to seeing. I wouldn't have mind. That was one that I was like, okay, you know, we could do okay against that matchup. And now it could be there. It was just interesting to me when I saw that.
And San Diego State's a little suspect going into this thing. They have higher quality wins than you'd expect, wins over Creighton and Kansas. But looking at how they closed out the Mountain West against a New Mexico team, they didn't do real well in there. They're a team led by senior guard Xavier Thames, 16.9 points per game, but he struggled in the NCAA tournament. San Diego State, for the life of me, has been one of those teams that come in with such high expectations, really good seedings out of the Mountain West, and they just don't perform the way you'd like them to. Getting to the Sweet 16 for NDSU, I mean, you saw some people had it. I saw Joe Lunardi on ESPN had him in the Sweet 16. It just, to me, is like, I don't know. You know, I don't see him going that far.
Okay.
I really don't. I see him losing to San Diego State in the round of 32. Or
so
the
do
second
I.
round.
But so, it's, so it, do I.
But again, if they get past Oklahoma and you look at this game and go, okay, there might be a shot. The beautiful thing about NDSU is that they're just not built on Ben Woodside and Brett Winkleman. You look at their scoring, it's very balanced. Four players in double figures. They have a much deeper bench than we expected, doing a lot of different things. Chris Kading is kind of your Swiss Army knife. You need a rebound. You need a defensive stop. You need a block. He can get those things for you. Jordan Auberg has been a force in the paint. Mike Felt, here's the hope, is that against Oklahoma, and this is seriously the hope, you get him out there in the first 10 minutes of the game, and he knocks down a three out of one or two shots, and then you go, okay, look out. Because if he does that, it might be a long night for Oklahoma. And that, along with Trayvon Wright in that Oklahoma game, those to me, offensively, are the X factors for NDSU. Because we've seen what happens with the Bison when Trayvon Wright is scoring and everybody else is playing their game. If he's scoring, NDSU's really tough to defend.
NDSU's really got, I'd say, four scorers.
Yes.
You got Bjorklund, Wright, Lawrence Alexander, and Braun are your four guys that, okay, how many, because they really got by with two that had good games in IPFW.
Yeah.
Marshall was okay, but in foul trouble.
Yep.
And Trayvon had a great game. Taylor Braun had a great three, four minutes. They've got to have at least three, right? I mean, they can't get by with less than three.
No, you need Braun, you need Bjorklund or Wright, and you need one more. And if it's those three, that's great. The guy that's down low, Spangler, for Oklahoma is a solid rebounder. He averages about 9 boards a game. My concern with that, he's a very athletic guy, according to Sal Phillips, is he gets off the floor real well. Bjorklund is not a guy who elevates. Great with his feet, especially offensively moving around. But you look at his rebounding numbers and you're going, boy, for a guy that big, you'd think he'd have six or seven. He's not a good rebounder because athletically, he just doesn't get up there and reach the high point. He really doesn't. That could be something. He's a great box-out guy. He can get good position. But Spangler just may be more athletic than him. That's another matchup, again, that you can watch for. If that's the case, you might see Bjorklund get into foul trouble because he's out of position. Or the other guy, Spangler, is just so athletic he can get around Bjorklund a little bit better, causing Bjorklund to reach, do whatever. That's something to watch for. Bjorklund gets in foul trouble. That puts the pressure squarely on the shoulders of guys like L.A. or even Mike Felt. L.A. is not a volume scorer.
No.
He's not going to go out there and drop 20. He would rather be a guy who hits, you know, 8 points, 7 boards, 9 assists. If L.A. had a game like that, perfect for NDSU. But, you know, he's a junior point guard. He's going to be on a guy who's much shorter than him. I could see him having a game if Bjorklund gets into foul trouble. But you're right. Right, Bjorklund, Taylor Braun. Going to be the guys that need to score. And well, so,
like I said, and they can get, and if you throw Alexander in there, they need 3 of the 4.
Yep.
I think
to
you
get
can
out
even,
of the first
you,
round.
To get out of the first round.
You and we're going to call it the first round, by the way, just yes, to get yes, rid of that. We're yes. not going to call it anything else.
No. And like even if Taylor Braun doesn't have a great game, if they get the other three, I still think they can win. But it whatever combination you want to pick, 3 of 4.
Yeah.
And probably the most important is honestly Bjorklund.
Yes,
it is. Because he's the only one of those guys that's going to score down low.
Yep, it is.
The other three are going to do the perimeter.
And Spangler is not a scorer. Looking at it, they get a lot of their scoring from the outside. And so, you know, if NDSU is able to pack it in, get good scoring from there. Kick it to the outside. L.A., Braun, Wright, Felt, threes. Could be a long day for Oklahoma. Going to that San Diego State NDSU game. Right now, I'm going to say I don't think they get past that game.
I agree, and I think that's probably going to be the general consensus. But it's going to be fun to watch. Be around your TV. Be around your radio. We got Scotty Miller in the studio beside us right now. Tune into Scotty. It's going to be... It's going to be a fun evening of basketball. NDSU prime time as well, which is great.
Of course, people are going to complain that it's not on in a regular network. It's on True TV, which is the least of the four known of the stations they have, because they have CBS, TBS, and TNT.
Whatever, I get it.
Yeah, well, some people don't in this area, and you know,
that's probably not nice to say.
Yeah,
probably bad. I apologize. I'm sorry.
Well, the one thing too about this March Madness that is really convenient for those that have a good internet or can go somewhere to get good internet.
That's true.
All these games are free online, and I can't remember the link to go to, but you go there online and you watch these games for free. And the other part about it is too is that sometimes these games will cut in, and they won't now because they've spread them out throughout 4 channels. But
which is the greatest thing ever, by the
way. Right, exactly. And so you'll be able to just watch NDSU throughout. You won't have any breaks. You won't have to worry about anything. And in fact, what I would suggest you do is you find it. If you don't have it on television, find it
online.
Come
over to my place.
Stream it. Go over to Brad Jones' place. There's an open invitation. Ladies. Ladies.
Hey.
Or you do all that.
Actually, Brad Jones off the market.
Oh, Brad Jones off the market.
By the way, just to throw that out
there. No one cares.
I need the ladies to calm down with all the attention I've been getting every time we've thrown that out over the past 7 months. Just calm it down now.
I know the attention was high.
It was
since you've started doing this podcast, getting out into the public sector.
It's been a little rough.
No,
I've had to wear disguises outside, like put on like a fake tan so they wouldn't recognize the white shadow.
I understand.
Yeah.
No, I completely get it.
Yeah.
But we're happy for you. And truly I am.
No. Anyway.
But turn off the volume of those TV guys because they don't know anything locally about NDSU and listen to Scott Miller. This is the only place, KFGO, that you're gonna be able to hear local talk. A local guy, Scott Miller, Jeremy Jorgensen, doing some broadcasting for you on KFGO 790. So, we got to get a plug, man. We're on KFGO.com.
That's true. It's not the only place, though. There will be another local station carrying the game. So, there you go.
There will?
There will.
Boy, that's interesting.
Isn't it?
Huh. I'm not sure about that.
I am.
Oh, I suppose they'll be carrying the national feed.
No. Where's the student station will be out there.
Oh, well, you can give a plug for the student station.
Can I give a plug for
them?
Yes. I was trying to read you if I can.
Well, yeah, no, yeah. KNDS, if they're out there, man, come on. Yeah. I'm an alum of them. Yeah.
We both are. Yeah. KNDS, the students.
Wait, we both are.
We both are. Alum of KNDS?
Oh, I thought you said we both are. Like, you're going out there. You're hosting the party, like a satellite version.
Yeah.
Hey, go to my house. I'll be in Spokane.
Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah. Love KNDS. Come on.
KNDS, the student station. We're gonna be out there, so we'll be broadcasting
always,
as well. So,
always room for KNDS on the Pinto and White Shadow show.
Here's how you do this. You tune in to Scotty during commercial breaks. Flip it over to 96.3 FM. We don't have commercials.
Yeah, there you go.
Get NDSU all the time.
Yeah. NDSU 24/7, we've got you covered, bases. And, of course, Brad and I will be sitting on a couch somewhere watching this game. So we've got NDSU not getting past San Diego State.
To get back
to that point.
Yeah, there's one other. I just wanted to take a quick look to see who NDSU would be up against as far as the TV times that they have.
Oh, yeah, good call.
St. Joe's, Connecticut tips off at 5:55.
Connecticut's
a 7:10 game.
Connecticut's a bigger draw, though.
Yeah.
And St. Joe's East Coast team.
Yep. Wofford, Michigan at 6:10.
Michigan.
2:15 matchup.
Michigan
though, so
will have
theory,
some attention.
So shouldn't be. And then St. Louis and their 5:12 game. They've got the Xavier
or
NC State. So they tip off at 6:20 and then NDSU at 6:27.
One thing, Connecticut and Michigan are going to draw some national attention because they are more of a national team. Less so Michigan, more so Connecticut when it comes to basketball.
True, but Michigan's also a 2 seed, and Connecticut's a 7 and doesn't have Calhoun anymore and not really any recognizable players. So you lose.
Napier is still on the team outside of that.
But not somebody that's going to move the needle.
Not
at
Craig McDermott or Doug McDermott, whatever his name is. The McDermott guy.
Yeah, I mean, so they don't really have anybody that's going to move the needle. Michigan does. They've got Stauskas and they've got Glenn Robinson III yet.
Right.
So those guys can move the needle a little bit. But really, at that slot, the thing I think that's going to be fun about that is it's going to come down to who's got which game is the best as far as where the most eyeballs are going to be. And that very easily could be. Have you seen the line?
I saw somebody texted it to me or tweeted it at me. I can't remember.
That makes it less fun.
2.5, I want to say, is the last I saw San Diego. Oh, it's 4.
No, Oklahoma. Oklahoma -4.
Okay.
Is the line.
Makes sense. I completely understand that because
That's a close line.
That is a close line for a 5-12, and I would like to see what the other 5-12s are at when it comes to line-wise.
Cincy's -3 against Harvard.
Okay. I like Harvard, too.
Yeah, 3 straight years in the tournament now. Tommy Amaker, their coach, former Duke guy. Let's see, and he's former Michigan coach as well. The other two 5-12s, as I stall a little bit more.
St. Louis wouldn't have a line at this point.
No.
And it would be VCU versus Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah, and I don't see a line on, because they actually, which is really nice that ESPN is supporting gambling on the SportsCenter app, they have put the lines on there. They don't have a line on there for any of the Friday games. They just have them up there for the Thursday games, which is interesting. But that's where we're at. You can turn the music off.
I didn't know if you were done or not.
I got nothing.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm excited. And like you said, with these 5-12 matchups, again, through the history of the NCAA tournament, in 1985, they went to 64 teams, and since then have gradually added more. But since that time period, and it's the 30th year of that expansion this year, the 30th, if you consider.
Yep, yeah, but I was 41 times.
Yep, 40. Yes, exactly, 41 times.
I assume that's where you were going with the stat. Yes, that's what I was doing here.
41 times a 12 is beaten a 5, and from what I've seen, you don't really look at 10 sevens and 8 nines because they're so close.
Yeah.
That is the most consistent upset between the 11 and 16 seats.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. There's always a 12-5, it seems like. And NDSU coming up roses, like the most successful and the most trendy pick. So,
yes.
Again, when it comes to people looking, they might tend to tune there because Michigan could dispatch a Wofford in the first half. Connecticut, St. Joe's, you're always looking for a good game, but it's a 7-10, so it's not like a true upset.
Yes.
And then the other one you said was, who did you say again was the other one?
What's that, the other 5-12 game?
No, the other game that's going on at that point.
Oh, let's see, UConn, St. Joe's, Michigan, Wofford, and the other game.
Yeah, what was the other game?
You're welcome. I moved off. It's the St. Louis.
Ah, yes.
St. Louis, and then either Xavier or NC State.
Yeah. So that's, you're hearing that, it's not going to matter. I think NDSU, Oklahoma, going to be a good game. But we do not have NDSU moving on to the Sweet 16. I think that's a...
Yes.
Okay. So San Diego State to the Sweet 16 there. Now, let's get into this bracket.
Let's go national.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't have to deal with the ones in the first round.
I don't know that we go through each and every pick because that's...
We won't break down each and every pick. I just want to move our bracket forward, but just pick out a few that I find interesting.
Okay, let's do this.
We'll start with the South. I'm only going to have we'll only have a handful of games in the first round. Colorado, Pittsburgh, give me your pick. I don't want to talk about it.
Pitt.
Me too. I think we could discuss VCU, SF Austin a little bit.
I mean, we could.
I think
how
it's
much
an
have
upset.
You seen either of those two teams play?
I've seen a little bit of VCU.
Okay. I mean, I can't really. I've seen a little bit of Shaka Smart. I enjoy him. It's interesting that VCU is in the role that they are now when they were in Stephen F. Austin's role not too long ago.
Yeah, even further back. I mean, they were.
Do you know what the F in Austin, Stephen F. Austin, stands for?
No.
Fuller.
There oh, okay. You thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I don't know. Do you know what their nickname is?
Them in football a couple of times.
Yes, you should.
I've been on their campus, actually, to broadcast NDSU.
Down in Texas?
Stephen F. Austin football in Nacogdoches, Texas.
I knew. Whenever I think of their town, I think of nachos. That's what I think of when I think of Stephen F. Austin.
Actually, they've got a phenomenal press box there. One of the nicer press boxes I've been in, actually. Yeah.
Okay. What's the nickname of them, though? Still stalling
on those guys.
Yeah. The Lumberjacks. The Lumberjacks.
Interesting.
Okay.
Was Stephen F. Austin a lumberjack?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
I guess it works.
Okay.
I really have no idea. Do you like VCU or Stephen F. Austin in this game?
I was just seeing how far down, how much time I could waste of yours before you'd pin me down on a pick. VCU.
Okay.
You're welcome.
I'm going to Stephen F. Austin.
Congratulations.
I'm going with the upset in that one. All right. UCLA, Tulsa. I've got UCLA.
Yep.
Ohio State, Dayton. Interesting game because... Dayton is one of these teams that they thought was going to play in Dayton in those first play-in games. And Ohio State, to me, paired with the right team could be an upset waiting to happen. Do you have it as an upset waiting to happen?
I have Ohio State.
Yeah, I do too. All right, moving on from there.
Way to build that up, though.
Yeah, I know. Syracuse, Western Michigan.
Syracuse.
Okay. That's what I have, too. I'm not going to go with Western Michigan. I saw them play, though, on that Saturday, and they're all right. New Mexico, Stanford.
Everybody loves New Mexico, which makes me want to pick Stanford, but I'm going to take New Mexico.
Yeah, I am too. We're not really deviating here too much. And then Kansas.
Yep.
We'll go. Do you want to stay with this bracket or do you want to move down to the
let's
East?
Let's do it. Let's finish it up.
Okay. Florida over Pitt.
Yep.
UCLA over Stephen F. Austin, or in your case, VCU, or who do you have?
No, I got VCU going.
Okay. I have the Cuse over Ohio State.
I do not.
Okay. Now we're finding some differences. Why?
Syracuse, Boeheim has not been a very good tournament coach over the years. I mean, he really hasn't. He's had top whatever teams, and I'm sure there's people screaming, because there's a lot of Syracuse fans in the area here.
For whatever
people
reason.
Screaming at their computers that I'm wrong. Look, he won one tournament. He had an NBA star and another solid NBA role player in Carmelo Anthony and Akeem Warwick on that team. And that's it. He's had great teams for a lot of years, and he's got one national title to show for it. Where I think there's other coaches that have had far worse talent and have gotten more national titles and done more with it. So I'm not a fan of Syracuse in the tournament as much as I love to watch them play. And I think Aaron Kraft is crafty enough to do some things in that 2-3 zone, and I think Ohio State wins. I think they go to Sweet 16.
My question would be Ohio State, who only averages about just under 70 points a game, how well can they shoot the three? Because in that game, Ohio State, it's going to be a low-scoring game. It's going to be like 50-45 because neither of those teams are going to give up a lot defensively. Yeah, but if Ohio State can knock down a couple outside shots, then
Ohio State, though, with that 2-3 zone, what you do is if you can work the baseline. If you can find cutters on the baseline, that's what gets that
no
zone.
Penetration.
They extend that zone up so far. So, I think Aaron Kraft he's sneaky enough to penetrate in there, and he can
would
make passes and make plays.
He's crafty?
I already said that. I already made that joke. Where were you? Like a minute and a half ago.
I was...
Pay attention.
I was looking at...
Keep up!
I'm sorry! So you've got Ohio State over the Cuse. I like the Cuse. I just think that they struggled towards the end of the season was not really what they were as a team as a whole. Sometimes teams hit a little bit of a rough patch. They just decided to hit theirs at the end of the season, which is a little scary. I get it. I understand.
They're the one team that I could see losing in the second round or going to the Final Four.
Right.
There's a couple of teams like that, and I don't really know what to do with Syracuse. I happen to have them losing to Ohio State.
Okay, I have Kansas moving on to the Sweet 16, and I have Kansas over the Cuse to get to Elite Eight, and they'll play Florida.
Yep.
And I have Florida as my first Final Four pick.
Yep.
They ran through the SEC, and I understand the SEC's basketball is just not what the football conference is. It's a bad conference
thanks,
in basketball.
Thanks for that analysis.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Thank you. Florida, though, defensively, as a team, just to me, is just it's
they're
completely
good.
Put
yeah.
together.
And they got a pretty, I think they got overall, they got a pretty good draw.
Yeah.
So I got Florida Final Four.
I mean, you look at this, Kansas has been kind of hit or miss.
And Embiid is dinged up.
Embiid is dinged up. Yep, that's a disappointment. You've got Syracuse, which was a 3, but really you could have made the case for them to be a 4 with the way they're playing towards the end of the season. Then you have UCLA as a 4, which the Pac-12 had a lot of teams, but you're going, you know, I don't see a lot of West Coast basketball. The only team I heard of was Arizona. Well, how is UCLA this good? Well, they were. They have a good deep team. And then Ohio State, you never really know. Wild card kind of team in Ohio State. Struggled through the Big Ten. Yeah, you're right. Florida, good
okay.
draw.
I think we got to change this up. I don't think we can go through every game. I think we'll put people to sleep.
Oh, we're not. I mean, we're getting through this pretty rapidly. Hang on. Let me check and see here.
All right.
We're not even to the half hour. Well, we just got to the half hour mark. We're okay. Just fine.
All right.
Stick
All
with
right.
me. I've got Virginia.
Yep.
George Washington or Memphis.
I think I got Memphis.
I got George Washington. Cincy over Harvard.
Very patriotic of you.
Yeah, I know.
I've got Cincy, but I don't feel great about it.
I'm going Harvard in this bracket. I've got Cincy in another one. I like Harvard.
Wait, whoa. Time out here. Multiple different brackets?
Yes.
Man up.
No.
Come on.
No.
Why?
Because.
That's not a good answer.
I like to
wuss. Be a wuss?
I like to play the field. I don't like to be...
Does your fiance know that?
Well, no.
Phrasing.
Sorry.
I don't know if you watch Archer.
Yes, I do.
Phrasing.
Context. Context of the conversation. I like to have multiple brackets out there just to see how they do. And I know some people, namely Brad, hate it, but I...
Yes. Be a man. You
I
have
enjoy
one
it.
Bracket.
I enjoy it. No. I like Harvard. Michigan State, Delaware.
Michigan State.
Okay. North Carolina, Providence.
UNC.
Yep. Iowa State, NC Central.
You're a Tar Heel guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I am a Tar Heel guy. You'll find that out here in a bit.
okay.
UConn and Nova. All right, UConn, Nova, game we can look at. What do you think? I see a lot of people out there have UConn Sweet 16.
Nope.
You have Nova?
Yeah, I like Nova.
I like UConn. I think Nova was a little bit, just did really well what are they, in the AAC? They're in the Big East, but the Big East was a little watered down.
Yeah.
And I have UNC over Iowa State. I saw Iowa State play, and I'm just like, I don't know. I think
You've been very consistent with that. I actually agree with you, though. I have Carolina over Iowa State.
I think
as
Carolina
well.
Can play with them athletically. Carolina can't shoot the outside of Page. He can shoot the outside ball, but I think Carolina is going to be okay to get to the Sweet 16. I have Michigan State over Harvard, obviously. Virginia over George Washington. Do you have Memphis winning that game?
Over Virginia?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Not unless Chris Douglas Roberts is rocking through that door.
Yeah, no, he's not. Okay, Virginia, Michigan State, which to me is the most interesting Sweet 16 game in the East, and might be one of the most interesting Sweet 16 games in any region.
Yeah, here's the thing that I hate is I Michigan State has been. I watched a couple games of them this year, and I watched at least one, if not both, of the games that I watched, they lost, and I liked the way they played in losses. And,
okay.
I mean, they made smart decisions. They missed some shots, but they didn't do a lot of dumb things. And that's kind of what I look for when I'm watching teams. So Michigan State was my early pick to win it all, and now it just bugs me that they're the consensus pick to keep going. But I'm not going to pick against what I saw early on, what I thought. I've got Michigan State. And I don't like it that everyone else is on that.
I do too, but I keep looking at this game going, boy, Virginia. They won the ACC outright regular season, then won the ACC title.
It can't and be. It's not a fluke.
Yeah, and they beat Duke twice. This team is so good defensively. Watch them in that ACC tournament title game. I don't go, man, they're everywhere. NDSU plays great team defense. If you've seen them play, they fly all over the place. They really do a great job because of their length. Virginia just seems to be in the right position at the right time, and they contest shots at the rim.
Put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yes. Yeah, I got that.
Okay.
I like Virginia a lot, but they run into Michigan State, and I like Michigan State a lot more. So I've got Michigan State, too. That'll be a fun game.
And I'm already smelling you've got Carolina over Nova.
I do.
Yeah, I already smell
or
that.
Or Carolina over UConn in my bracket.
Oh, okay.
But I do have Carolina into the Elite Eight, but I have Michigan State into the Final Four.
We're 2-for-2 on Final Four teams.
Yes.
When I first picked it, I put Nova in the Final Four. I went back and changed it because I more so did it because I was mad that everyone else took my Michigan State pick from months ago.
Yeah.
And so, but I go with my pick and...
Here's the thing.
We'll see where it goes.
Michigan State, I believed at full strength, did lose to North Carolina early on in the season. And that's something to consider. But Michigan State, they're a good tournament team, if you like that. Looking at the rest of the West, we already have NDSU, San Diego State, Zaga, Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
Yes. And we have Zona moving on. Don't worry about that. These two games, Baylor, Nebraska, Creighton, Lafayette. I have Creighton.
Yeah.
It's that Nebraska-Baylor game. Do you pick with your heart or do you pick with your mind? Brad, you're a mind guy. I'm a heart guy.
Yeah.
You know who I'm going with.
Yeah, you're picking our buddy Miles.
Yes, I am. And the only reason is because I like Miles and I like Nebraska.
I was ready to pick Nebraska because I liked the way they played for most of the game in the Big Ten tournament against Ohio State.
Baylor
was a team that I really liked before the bracket came out.
And they went on a tear.
Yeah. I've got Baylor, I don't like it, but I
think it's
Baylor.
The smart pick. I really do. I think Baylor is going to, I think Baylor's going to win this game. I want Nebraska to win this game. I'm picking strictly on my heart with this game, and I know I'm probably going to be wrong. Oregon, BYU?
Oregon.
I have Oregon, too, and then Wisconsin. Wisconsin moving on to the Sweet 16.
Yep.
Yes. Scotty, as I like to call him in brackets. Creighton. In my bracket, moves on to the Sweet 16.
Yes, and mostly because, honestly, I would probably pick either Baylor or Nebraska, but I have much more confidence that Creighton's going to win their first round game than either Baylor or Nebraska.
Right.
So I think Creighton's going to be in the second round game. That's why I picked him to go to the Sweet 16, because I don't know. I don't want to lose the Sweet 16, and I very easily could do that first game.
Creighton-Nebraska would be a fun second round game,
yes,
just because of the ties to NDSU.
The state of Nebraska.
And the state of Nebraska, yeah.
It'd be fun.
Zona, Oklahoma State, which is kind of measuring up to be the most interesting second round game in the tournament. Because Zona doesn't have one of their better players. He's out for the season, broke his foot, and I can't remember his name, their center. And then Oklahoma State was one of these teams that a lot of people liked at the beginning of the season, struggled towards the end, had that little lull. Got into the tournament.
Shoved a fan.
That happened.
Yeah.
But who do you like?
Zona.
Okay.
So do you.
Yes, I do. I think I have Zona moving on in every bracket. Zona, San Diego State.
Zona.
Okay. Creighton, Scotty.
I don't like putting Wisconsin there, but I have them there.
I don't have them there. I don't like Wisconsin. I have Creighton.
Okay.
Creighton, Zona.
I think you give Bo Ryan one guy to take care of, and I think Bo Ryan can do it.
Yeah, that's, defensively it'll be tough.
That's why, and this Wisconsin team can score a little bit more than a lot of past Wisconsin teams. But yeah, I've got Scotty moving on, but I've got Zona in the Final Four.
Okay, I have Creighton in the Final Four.
Okay,
I like Creighton. I like McDermott. I want him more so than
I named my bracket after him last year.
I McDermott full of aces.
Aces
full of McDermott.
Yeah, aces full of McDermott. I can't do the John Malkovich.
Nope, you can't.
Probably. I can't do it. It's so bad. I've tried. And
don't
the accent is so great as Teddy KGB. But
you can't do it.
I'm not doing it.
The reason I like Creighton is because I like the one player to just kind of emerge and dominate. Steven, come on now. Steph Curry.
Yeah.
With Davidson back in wherever, 08, 09, maybe 10. I can't remember personally when that was, but just that tournament run he had.
Yeah.
And I understand Davidson was like a 10 and Creighton here is a 3, so they're favorited.
Favorited?
Yep.
Favored?
Yes. Okay. I know what I meant. Boy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We need to get like a grammar police drop or
what
something.
What in the world is up?
Yeah, that okay. was, yeah. Anyways.
So we finally disagree on a Final Four team.
Yeah, I have Creighton in the Final Four.
I feel
four.
Much better about Zona than Creighton. I really do. I still think Creighton's going to lose in the second round to either Baylor or Nebraska.
But you had to move on to the Sweet 16.
I do.
But you yeah. still, okay.
I don't know who's going to win over Baylor and Nebraska. That game's a complete toss-up in my head. And I at least think Creighton's going to be in that game.
I'm so convinced that Scani will lay an egg at some point because
I think it's going to be against Zona.
I think it is against Creighton. Yeah. Laying an egg to me for them is losing before the Sweet 16.
Fair enough.
All right, moving on.
Except that would be in the Sweet 16. So.
Oh, yeah, Creighton. Yeah, okay. Anyways, moving on to Midwest, Kentucky, Kansas. This is the toughest region, by the way, by far.
Oh, yeah.
Kentucky, Kansas State.
Although that is a tough region, but I will say Virginia didn't get any favors either. Iowa State, Villanova, Michigan State, Carolina.
Right.
That's not any. They didn't get any favors in the East either. Wichita State, first round. Kentucky, Kansas State. I have Kentucky and I don't like it.
I don't either.
But I have Kentucky.
Okay. St. Louis versus whoever. Iowa or no?
I have St. Louis.
NC State or Xavier.
Yeah.
And you have St. Louis. Yeah. Okay.
You have whoever?
Yeah, no, I have St. Oh, Louis okay. too. Louisville, Manhattan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to confirm, we're picking Louisville. You yep. can't see us write down feverishly. UMass versus Iowa or Tennessee.
I have whoever.
Yep, I have whoever as well, which I think it'll be Iowa, but I have whoever.
Probably. I'm just going to write whoever
yeah.
on my bracket. Yeah.
Okay. Duke, Mercer, of course, Duke. Texas, Arizona State.
That one I spent a little bit of time on and ended up coming up with Arizona State.
I'm going Texas. I'll go chalk.
We are a lot of chalk here.
Yes, we are.
Not a lot of.
Well, you know, the thing is, you look at this bracket and, you know, a lot of people said it was so unpredictable who was going to do what and where they were going to be placed.
And yeah.
And it really is. But to me, I look at that and indicate, okay, there's going to be a lot of chalk then. That's how I feel about
yeah.
it. And really, the way that a lot of people will shut up about the committee, you know, not doing any favors to Virginia or Wichita State as if they go to the Final Four, obviously, or at least get to the Elite Eight because Virginia would have to go through Michigan State. And
but here's the thing. With the seeds, the seeds don't represent who the committee thinks has the best chance to go to the Final Four. The number one seeds are the four teams that they thought had the best resumes going in, and there's a difference there.
Yeah, I understand that.
I mean, I don't think there's a lot of people that would say, well, Wichita State, yeah, they're undefeated. Yeah, they had a great team last year. But, I would pick a lot of teams over them to make the Final Four that are lower seeds.
I think people are a little bit perplexed as to why you have Louisville be a 4, Michigan State be a 4, yet you've got a team like Syracuse who struggled be a 3.
But again, it's college basketball fans tend to see, well, okay, what have I seen since the Super Bowl? Because that's when people really start to pay attention to college basketball in general. And that's not what the committee does.
I'll give you Michigan State winning the Big Ten tournament, though.
Okay.
And Louisville, I get Louisville
that's, but
being
that's,
a
4. But
four.
That's what I'm
I
saying,
I get Louisville
though.
Being a 4, but Michigan State winning the Big Ten tournament.
But that's what I'm saying. That's when fans are really picking up. They hear Tom Izzo won the Big Ten tournament. What's going on? What's up?
And it's
yeah, everything that yes. happened before that yeah. that makes a difference, and that really comes into play when it comes into seeding. It's not just what you saw within the last month and a half.
It's a good point because Michigan State wasn't playing with a full deck of cards. They had a couple of injuries.
Yeah,
I think it was Adrian Payne.
They've been dealing with some injuries.
Yeah,
there.
He was hurt a little bit. He's one of their best players, if not the best player. Sweet 16 matchup. Do you have Wichita State, Louisville? Okay, I do too. And then Duke, Michigan in the other one. That's what I have.
I was tempted to pick whoever. But
really?
Yeah.
I like Jabari Parker.
I do too, yeah. And I'm a Duke fan.
Okay. Duke, Louisville, Elite Eight?
No.
Ooh.
No, I've got Michigan.
Louisville?
Yes.
Okay. I have Louisville, Duke, and then I have Louisville going to the Final Four over Duke.
I do not.
You have Duke.
No.
So that right.
I already knocked them out. I've got Michigan.
Oh. I keep thinking of my brain. You have Michigan going to the Final Four.
I do.
All right. Okay, so to recap, Final Fours. Florida out of the South for me. Michigan State out of the East for me and Brad. Creighton out of the West for me.
Zona.
And then I have Louisville out of the Midwest, and you have Michigan.
Michigan.
All right. Florida, Michigan State. Who do you have?
I have Florida.
I have Michigan State. Creighton.
That was fun.
Louisville. Well, we'll go back and discuss it, but.
You Creighton, Louisville, that's all you, because I don't have either of those two.
I've got Louisville. McDermott's done with his run.
Okay. I got Michigan, actually.
Okay.
I got Michigan making a run.
So going back to that Michigan State-Florida game, why Florida?
Honestly, because I think Florida has a... I'm playing the odds of... I think Florida's going to be there, and I'm a lot less confident that Michigan State's going to make it.
And so you're assuming, just based on the odds of the pure bracket picking, that you're still... Florida's your lock, essentially, for the Final Four, and Michigan State you're not sure
of. Which means Florida's going to get knocked out by Pitt.
Probably.
But yeah, I've got them as a lot more of a lock than I do Michigan State. And so I think Florida's going to have a better chance of being there, so I'm going to move them on.
Okay. I like Michigan State because when I saw them play early on in the season, I looked at them and went, boy, this team is deep. A lot of athletes. They've got some great guard play. They've got a great forward in Payne. They're just a complete team.
Yeah.
And I really like Michigan State in the NCAA tournament. I think Michigan State, to me, is going to make that national championship game.
I'll be upset if they do because, again, I told you how many months ago, and I think I even said it on the podcast,
I thought Michigan State
was gonna be my national title pick, and now I'm picking against them.
That happens.
And usually that means they end up winning.
Wish-washy. It makes sense. For me, Louisville-Creighton. Louisville's been there before. Love Russ Smith. Great guard. Dynamic player. They're also a little ticked off at the fact that their seeding was as low as they got. A lot of people are miffed at why they got a four, and then they have to go through the region of death, which is the Midwest. They could play Kentucky in a Sweet 16 game if it all works out. Or, you know, St. Louis is no lock in the park.
They'd love to play Kentucky.
They would love to play Kentucky. They could possibly be matched up with Duke or Michigan in the Elite Eight. It's a really tough way to go for Louisville.
Yeah, I think Louisville makes it the region of death, though. I don't know if it's as much a region of death for them. I think they're the ones that make it a region of death for other teams.
Okay, I like that take. And Creighton, again, it's the same way that you're thinking about it. You look at it and go, Florida's my for sure out of that region. That's why I'm picking them to win. Louisville's my for sure out of that region. I'm not positive about Creighton.
Sure.
I'm really not. No. Because, I mean, Oklahoma State could very well be in the Final Four. And they have just as good of a shot. Well, everybody does, except if you're 16. But you get my point. So I have Louisville. And then you had?
Michigan.
Michigan. So you have Florida, Michigan.
Yes.
Give me your winner.
Who do you think?
I'm going to go Michigan. You're going Florida. National champions,
straight
huh?
Chalk.
Straight chalk. Top number one seed.
Give me grown-up Eddie Munster all day.
Donovan?
Yeah, give me that Widow's Peak.
I like the pick. Again, Florida,
Whatever. It's chalk. They're the favorite going in. Haven't lost in forever. Probably going to lose, but that's what I got. But then again,
you're not going to take Warren Buffett's money?
No.
Come on.
No.
Are you in that thing?
I probably will throw it
you
in.
You have to.
Why not?
You have to.
But no. I will. I just want to beat you in the bracket pool. That's
okay,
it.
Cool. It's nice to know.
If gambling in bracket pools were legal.
And it's not.
It's not.
It's definitely not.
No.
Never.
We wouldn't do it.
Don't condone it.
But if we were,
yeah,
then I would beat you.
Okay. Michigan State over Louisville, in my mind. Again, Michigan State, one of those favorites.
I would love that game. I hope you're right, because I think that would be a fun national championship game.
It would be.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to go back. Give me, outside of your NDSU-Oklahoma game, first-round games that you're going to watch. First-round potential.
That I'm going to watch with
second
interest.
Second-round games that you're going to watch with interest, because the next time we hop on the podcast, we'll have moved forward. We'll get to the Sweet 16, so on and so forth. So let's just look at first-round, second-round games.
Give me let's each pick two games total, outside of NDSU, because that's obviously one.
Yes,
let's
get, two take games two is other perfect ones. For me.
Okay, you got one. Go.
A first-round game. I'm going to be watching Oklahoma State-Gonzaga.
Okay.
For a first-round game. Go ahead.
I want to watch VCU-Stephen F. Austin.
Okay.
It's going to be a fun game.
And I would like to watch the North Carolina Providence game, but I would probably defer and watch Baylor Nebraska for that first round game.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I think that would be fun to watch. The other one that I'm kind of looking at, and I guess I'm sticking with the 5-12 games, Cincy Harvard.
Yeah.
I think Harvard could be fun. And plus, I want Ted Valentine to referee us another Cincinnati game to see Cronin just blow his top. I think that'd be fantastic.
Oh, boy. That'd be scary. Yeah. He scares me.
Yes.
It does.
Ted Valentine is so awful.
Yeah, he's a
TV
he's,
Teddy.
He's
yeah.
a bad person. potential second round games that intrigue me, and I'll start with the Zona Oklahoma State game.
Okay,
and I'm a fan of Oklahoma State. I'm going to be watching them intently. That one interests me.
Okay, Ohio State Syracuse. I really hope that happens. That's one that I really want to see.
Looking at my second one, I would pick whoever in Duke.
Yeah.
And the whoever in my mind.
You think it's Iowa.
Is Iowa. And that's why I think whoever in Duke. Because Iowa was really good for a while. And then all of a sudden they got playing in that Big Ten. And next thing you know, committee has them as 11. Because they just were so inconsistent throughout the season. Duke, Iowa.
I'm going your boys, Carolina, Ohio, Iowa State.
That also would be a fun game too.
Be a fun game. What's one game that you don't have that you really hope happens?
Ooh, good question.
Thank
you. Don't have that I really wish would happen.
You don't have it down, but you look at and within a region, not like a Final Four national championship. Within a region that you don't have, you think, gosh, that would be a really really fun game to
see. If we're dreaming beyond dreaming,
taking NDSU out of it.
NDSU Nebraska for
let's take NDSU out of that.
Right. You know, let me just kind of like browse over this a little bit. I would honestly think Wichita State Duke would be a game I'd
like
to
see. That was the game. That was the game I was going with too. I think that would be fantastic because my gosh, you talk about the upstarts versus the evil empire.
Right.
You're somehow turning an undefeated number one seed into an upstart and you've got him against the evil empire of Coach Krzyzewski and Duke.
That would be fun.
Oh, that would be a fun game because everybody would be on Wichita State. I love to see that.
The other one that I look at that would be a lot of fun, in my mind, Virginia, North Carolina.
Yeah?
An AAC, just different conference, ACC battle. And I get that probably a lot of people nationally would go, all right, I mean, North Carolina's a draw, but I think to me it would be very interesting to see. That would be another game. And I'll go third game too with it. Creighton, Oklahoma State.
Marcus Smart versus McDermott. Ooh, there's a lot of different ways that game could be discussed. Yes.
Yeah. It's gonna be fun. It's always one of the best times of the year. And the final question I have for you, Brad.
Yeah.
Upset you didn't pick, but you think will happen.
The upset that I didn't pick that I'm still poring over a little bit.
Yes.
I almost went with the other whoever. St. Louis was one of those teams that was supposed to be really, really, really good, and they just ended up being really good. And then they've got they'll come in with either NC State or Xavier, a team coming off of an emotional victory and then turning around and playing again. I was tempted to go both whoever's. And that's one that I pore over a little bit.
I'm probably going to go back tonight and look at Western Michigan Syracuse.
Ooh.
Because Syracuse has struggled so mightily towards the end of the season, and Western Michigan was a team that was at the top of their conference throughout the year. And NDSU did beat them in Western Michigan, which was a nice win. It's not a huge win, but it was a nice win. But I look at that game and I go, you know, Western Michigan, if they can figure out the 2-3 zone, that's always the problem, is that you get these teams that they're so used to playing man or dealing with like a 1-3-1 on occasion. The 2-3 zone offers so many problems if you're not used to it, not used to playing against it. And you only have...
And Western Michigan honestly probably has they get at least 4 days to prepare.
Right.
Though if Syracuse wins that game, Ohio State or Dayton has 2 days. Or
right.
1 day, really.
Yeah. And that was the other one, too. Dayton, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Because Dayton's the team that, of course, is good at basketball, but they always have to play second fiddle to Ohio State. You know, they're a good basketball school, and so now you get your chance to take on the interstate rival. So those are games. It's going to be fun. I can't wait for this bracket to go down. And I just, I can't wait to see
how
it goes.
I'm still alive after the amount of junk food and beverages that I'll be consuming over the 4 days, the first 4 days.
Yeah. Well, again, going back to that NDSU-Oklahoma game, because we didn't discuss it when we were talking about, let's say that it all works out, NDSU wins. Just to discuss the program as a whole, Saul Phillips and his job. We'll start there.
Gone.
You really believe
Gone.
That?
I've said that from the beginning of the season. Gone.
I agree. I do. I think maybe not so much now because I thought about it. You know, Scott Nagy would be in the perfect position after taking a team from the Summer League to back-to-back Summer League titles, and he doesn't go anywhere.
Very different personalities.
I get that, but he wins. And he wins in Brookings, South Dakota, and that's something. You know, get personalities play a part in it, but I mean, Bob Huggins, I mean, he's kind of a surly guy. I know that's a bad example, but again, if you win games, you would think that maybe somebody else in a higher mid-major would give you a shot.
And who knows if they have, maybe he just likes South Dakota State.
Yeah.
I think Saul has bigger aspirations.
I do too.
And I think he I think he had bigger aspirations to begin with because he coached with Bo Ryan and has had a taste of that. And he's seen what Tim Miles has gone
Creighton,
on and done.
Nebraska, Tony Bennett was part of the staff with Bo Ryan over at Virginia.
So,
you know, he would like to do what Bennett did. Bennett went to Washington State, made them a very good, successful basketball program. Virginia says, come here.
I think he'd like to do what Tim Miles did.
Yep.
Find the Colorado State, get him going. And
that's the jump, I think, in my mind.
Yes.
Because you can't, you're not going to go if you're Saul Phillips, and we talked about this with Bull, you're not going to go from here to Kansas or here to even Iowa. You're not going to make that type of jump. You're going here to, well, what does the Missouri Valley need? You know, or what does the Mountain West need? And Colorado State was a nice job for Tim Miles. And for him to do what he did with that program, make him into a winner in a short time.
Yeah,
that was good for him. And then to do what he's done with Nebraska, again, nice as well. I agree with you. I think Saul Phillips sees it like that. I will say this, though. If NDSU doesn't beat Oklahoma, I think Saul stays. If he does, if they do, I think he's around.
Nope. I said he was gone. I didn't even think he had to win the Summit League tournament, and I thought he was gone.
I think he had to.
And there's obviously no way to prove any of this. I thought the Notre Dame win, I thought he was gone no matter what. I thought the Notre Dame win sealed it, and then you want to put an extra stamp on there. I think that was making the tournament. But now's the time. Now is the time. Your players are going. The guys that you've been really close with over the last 4 or 5 years in some cases, it's his time to go.
The question that I have is, how does NDSU become more consistent? Now, NDSU, Saul Phillips said it during the selection show press conference, we're a five and done program. Not a one and done, five and done, meaning we get these players here for 5 years, we get them to their potential as seniors, we win, go to the NCAA tournament, and regroup. Has to do that this year with six players, five on scholarship, I believe, leaving. Unless Freddie Newell's on scholarship now, and I can't remember.
I don't know for sure.
I can't remember, honestly. In any sense of the word, you have to replace six roster spots next season, and you bring back two starters. It's tough. How does NDSU become more consistent? Because we look at these mid-majors and what NDSU has done by just being a 12 out of the Summit League. And that's, we can discuss that a little bit later, but what he's done with the team out of NDSU out of the Summer League, getting him to a 12 seed, how does NDSU get to that consistency? I think it helps that they're getting a new arena.
Yeah.
But can they get that consistency if, say, Saul leaves and they bring in, Richmond?
Yep. And that's what makes it a little bit tough, is that the teams that you find that have that year-to-year consistency at a mid-major level don't turn over coaches as much. You look at
Mark Few, Gonzaga.
You look at Gonzaga, that's obviously going to be the poster child for it. Even VCU, having Shaka Smart there for a few years, has done it. I mean, that's kind of the formula. With Oral Roberts, when they were pretty solidly at the top of the Summit League, Coach Sutton was there has been there for a while. So I think that's a big part of it.
And you look at Butler, Stevens Lees, and Butler.
There you go. I don't think we discussed them.
No. No, that's the question that comes up. I would like to see NDSU, and South Dakota State this year did a great job of being competitive, But you could see there was a big loss there when it's not Nate Walters.
Yep. It's tough because you need, in order to get that, you need to find the guy who's got the coaching ability and recruiting ability of Tim Miles and or Saul Phillips, and you need to find it where NDSU is their dream job. And that's a very difficult combination to find.
The problem I see is with this roster, with how many seniors there are. And the fact that it's not, okay, there's two seniors, a couple juniors. We're going to have some leftovers here. You have to replace an entire roster,
it's
essentially.
It's the coach that's able to do that.
Yeah.
And
then how do you balance that out? Lawrence Alexander's one junior, and they've got a couple others maybe that were redshirted because L.A. did not redshirt.
Yeah.
And some of those players didn't pan out. I think Joel Lindbergh was part of his recruiting class, did not pan out. Or maybe he was the year before. I can't remember. But even so, you've got one guy coming in after a big recruiting class and just one more after that. It's tough. It's tough to get that consistency when your top players are all grouped together. You know, when you look at this consistency, you see a Gonzaga and say, well, we've got good sophomores. We've got good juniors. We've got good seniors. We've got them all throughout here. And we've got guys that aren't going to jump to the NBA right away. You know, we've got guys that we can do well with. I think, though, that what you're going to see next year is you're going to see the same thing you saw after the 08-09 season was a lot of freshmen playing some significant minutes, significant time.
Yep.
Things like that.
Yep. And you'll be looking for some guys to make the leap. Brad Vandenberg, Chris Kading. I mean, Kading's going to be one of the big ones.
Carlin Dupree.
Carlin Dupree.
Yeah. Yeah, Vandenberg, too, missed an entire season.
Yep.
As well. So if he can make the leap, make that jump, that'd be nice.
They liked him enough to play him as a true freshman.
Yep. Now they got a year back from him, too, which is, again, nice. He'll be in that same class as Carlin Dupree. Sometimes it just works out. The question I have, and it's meaningless in the sense, but NDSU being a 12 seed, a lot of people are out there saying it's the highest seed for a Summit League team ever, and truthfully it is, but the conference used to be what? The Mid-Continent?
Mid-Continent. That is correct.
And Missouri State used to be in it, and they were a 9 at one point. And so,
okay, I see what you're saying.
Look at this as the Summit League was the Mid-Continent, and the Mid-Continent became the Summit League kind of thing. They're all just one conference. I look at the history of the conference stopping when it was Mid-Continent, and then it ceased to exist. It's not like the Big East, where the Big East is still around, but the teams that were in it before are no longer there, like Syracuse and Notre Dame and stuff like that. I look as the Mid-Continent being, it was from here to here, and now it's done, and now it's the Summit League's time to have history. That's how I look at it.
Well, you can look at it like that because that shines more favorably on NDSU. I disagree with that. You changed the name of the conference. You didn't swap out. I'd say there's a bigger difference between the Big East then and now than there is between the Mid-Con then and now.
Right, and I get that. I understand. To me, I think as if you couch it where you say Summit League history, which I've done. I've said it's the highest seed in Summit League history. Not in the history of the conference or the league, but in Summit League history,
okay,
it is the highest seed. And yes, I am splitting hairs,
okay,
but just so I'm correct. Just so I can
you're
do
just,
it.
You're just so not used to being correct that you just wanted to make sure you got one thing right.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
It's exactly how I look at it. So that's our brackets.
Yeah.
We'll be discussing these throughout. We'll probably have them by your side. This is the third bracket now I'm in. Too many?
Yes. Well, not too many that you're in, but just that you have three different brackets.
Oh, yeah. I could look back because I forget how I pick. I don't look at another bracket to base my picks on the next bracket. I go in blind sometimes.
Man up.
That's how I do it. I'm going to win $1 billion. And then you'll see who's manning up.
Can I get part of it for making fun of you on
no,
podcast?
No, absolutely not. Okay. You get nothing.
Shot.
Yeah. I'll give you a golden mic. How's that sound?
An actual golden mic?
No, it'll be a fake gold mic. I'll spray paint it for you. So,
okay.
Well, for Brad Jones, Dale Gutterson, thank you so much for joining us for the 035 podcast of the Pinto and White Shadow Show, the tournament bracket specials.
So excited.
If you want to follow us on Twitter, and please do as these games go on because we're going to be having a lot of fun with them, follow Brad Jones.
At the Bison Guy.
Follow me at PintoKFGO. Email us pinto.whiteshadow@gmail.com. Find us on KFGO.com or on iTunes. So for Brad Jones, I'm Daniel Gunnarsson saying so long and have a wonderful bracket. How you like me now?